Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in here. We're looking for the biggest fool out there. When you made a fool of yourself, tell us the story. Gets you in for a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Eagles made a trade about a half hour ago. Jahan Dotson.
Got a receiver.
Former first-round pick, number 16 overall, just two years ago with the Commanders, a trade to the Eagles. So the Eagles are giving up a third-round pick. They're also going to get back a fifth-round pick, right? So that's what it is. It's Dotson and a fifth to the Eagles for a 2025 third and 2 7th-round picks. So the Eagles are swapping picks around, but they're giving up a 3, getting a 5. Also, of course, getting Jahan Dotson. Hugh, I think he's worth a flyer. I think they really needed another legitimate wide receiver here. Mm-hmm. I keep wondering to myself, why did a team that needs, you know, offensive help, you said a young quarterback down there in Washington, why they gave up on him? I'm not saying it's a red flag, but my eyebrows
raised. It just kind of makes you wonder. Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder because it's like he's a first-round draft pick 2 years removed from being drafted, and it's like you gave up on him already.
The Pickett thing, like it's just very similar, right? 2 years in, but like you can only have one quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, so like if the Steelers deemed Pickett was no longer their quarterback, then you might as well just dump him, right? Because it's awkward to keep him as a backup. You need 3 or 4 wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like they didn't want him in Washington anymore. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's weird. And I guess their thought process is receivers are a dime a dozen. Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. But it does kind of make you scratch your head a little bit.
24 years old. And again, you know, I mentioned earlier, this isn't a Jalen Reagor-esque bust where he's just can't get on the field or he can't catch the ball. In 2 years, he has 84 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. He had 7 touchdowns as a rookie. So there's some production there for the Eagles to work with. So he's going to come in here. I imagine he's going to be the slot right away. I mean, he's going to come in and play there and get some playing time. All right, 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on Topper? Are we too hard on him? Jalen Hurts, are you expecting the 2022 version? Obviously, you could react to this trade the Eagles just made for Jahan Dotson, but we wanted to play this for you. The Braves Radio Network last night, they made some fools of themselves. Listen to the difference here. So, 9th inning of the game, both teams had the pitchcom issues where they couldn't hear.
Yeah.
Listen to the difference in the reaction between when the Braves pitcher has pitchcom issues in the top of the 9th versus the Phillies with Estevez in the bottom of the 9th. Here is the beginning of that top 9 Braves pitching and how it sounded on their radio network.
Overall, what do you think of the way this training camp went?
And now they get on the same page. They sync up those pitchcom devices. So good job by Murphy and Jackson. Okay, the pitch count device isn't working. We'll go to fingers. Nobody on base.
Yeah.
That's something we should see more of, but
yeah,
couldn't see the fingers. 1-2 on Turner. No, he's stepped. Now they're having the issues again. It's not working again. And home plate umpire Corey Blazer calls for the Braves dugout to bring out another device.
All right, so the Braves are having some issues. Jalen Hurts snuck in there and was part of the little exchange on the radio. Let's listen now to the bottom of the 9th inning. Phillies on the mound. They're trying to close the game out. Very similar thing happens, and they obviously felt a little different about it.
Estevez now has issues with his pitchcom device. And JT Romuto will walk out there and meet him halfway between the plate and the mound.
Isn't this a joke?
Yeah.
Isn't it just a joke on Major League Baseball that people think they've got to use these electronics? Efforts to speed up the game, and they've got this nonsense going on that bring the game to a halt. It's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, Hugh. Top of the 9th, it's no big deal. Bottom of the 9th, it's ridiculous.
If that wasn't a get-off-my-lawn moment, I don't know what was, man. I mean, come on, it's made the game better. And then I thought that he was going to go the route of saying that, you know, they're trying to stall. It felt like that's where he was trying to go.
I think he was almost like feeling that, yeah.
Yeah, but how does that benefit the pitcher?
Well, actually, on the TV broadcast last night, they were saying how it could actually hurt.
Yeah, because he's trying to get in a rhythm. He's not pitching great. So what are you saying? Like he's stalling? I don't understand what his premise is. But like I said, man, if that's not a get-off-my-lawn moment, I don't know what is.
Yeah, the Braves are having a rough year. I mean, between the injuries, the Arcia thing last night, they're all out of sorts, and hopefully the Phillies can bury them tonight and move it forward next weekend when they play them here. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Jim, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jim.
What's up,
Jim? What are you feeling today?
my God. First of all, Thompson. Okay. I can't stand when people say he's a great coach, but they respect him. He has the clubhouse. What's that mean? I mean, don't all teams respect their coach?
No, not really. No, I don't. Nah. I don't. Do you think? Did Joe Girardi have this clubhouse in his last month as the manager?
No, that's true. Okay, you got me. But still, I mean, what does Hopper do besides make the lineup? That game last night. If Stott doesn't hit that fly ball, and let's say he pops up, why wasn't Stott butting the ball? Stott got lucky and hit a deep drive to right field or left center, I think it was.
But he put Stott and Marsh in the game in that moment.
I agree with you there, but he should have had Stott blind the ball. Stott got lucky. Let's say this is a playoff game. It's a tie game, 2-2, in the bottom of the ninth, person second. Does he do the same thing, or does he tell Stott to bunt?
I don't know. I mean, I first of all, I don't love bunts unless you are desperate because I'm just giving away outs. But, yeah, I mean, in certain moments, sure.
It's a tie game in the eighth or ninth inning. You got to get that runner advance.
But it worked. It worked.
Listen, yes, he did do it last night, but he got lucky because he hit a fly ball. That's all I'm saying. Topper doesn't do nothing except put the lineup up there.
What about the bullpen moves last night? He went to Kirkering. He went to Hoffman early. They all worked.
He should have left Kirkley in there. He only threw 8 pitches.
He pitched the night before. He pitched the night. How many innings you pitching the guy?
It doesn't matter. Our pitchers can't go more than one inning. They throw 2 pitches, they're done.
But that's most relief pitchers in baseball. I mean,
it doesn't matter. It's terrible. All right, now I got a thing for your fantasy football team.
What do you got?
1999, Phillies were playing the Cardinals. Me and my boy are going to the game. I call out of work because I work night shift and third shift. I'm going to call out. So me and my boy go to the game. We have a few beers, and the game's a blowout. So we sneak down behind the Cardinals dugout. We're right on in the first row, right behind the dugout. Ricky Bow is pitching relief. He walks off the field. I put the L up as a loser because he got bombed, okay? And the Phillies win. I go home. The next day, my dad wakes me up. He said, "What'd you do last night?" I said, "Nothing. Why?" I said, "I went to the game." He says, "Your face is on the front page of the Daily News." I said, "What?" I get the Daily News. I look at it, and my pitcher is on there with the L sign, and boom. So now I got to go to work that night. I go to work that night.
You
I get fired.
Oh, you got fired. Job. Wow.
I get fired because I told him I was sick and my face is on the paper.
Man, Jim, that's a good one.
That's
you made a fool of yourself, but you know what? I get it. If you felt he got bombed, he thought he was a loser, you got to put the L up. Jim, good phone call. That's a good one. Front page Daily News, yeah, big ol' L.
Yeah, and lost your job. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Would you, if you were Jim, would you have gone into your work that night all dressed up?
Would I put a suit on? Well, it all depends. Like, I guess you kind of know your boss watching.
Well,
or saw it.
Front page Daily News, a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have went to work because I already know how that's going to work out for me. I wouldn't have went.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the I'm calling out of work for this reason, then go to a public place, right? Because then you're anyone could see you. I mean, I guess you're not expecting to be on the front page or back page of the Daily News, but if you're going to give an excuse to why you're out of work, you can't be visible then to where you're doing something different.
Somebody figured out what dude was trying to say.
Oh,
my man Jared,
the X thing.
Yeah. Yes, he said he was saying first set of parents he introduced as the wrong people. And introduced them by saying they were the ex's parents.
Ah, instead of the first set of parents were the
yes.
ex's parents.
Thank you, Jared, because I didn't understand that at first. That sounds about right, but he didn't say it like that.
It was a little confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I got...
Because I'm looking at you, and I'm like, did you get that?
No. Here, I understood if it was awkward, whatever the machinations
were. So he had the wrong set of parents, and he said he had a couple gummies.
You know what I've noticed? Noticed this about almost all of our the people that are giving us our answers today for the time you made a fool of yourself? Almost every one of these stories starts with, had a few beers, had a few
It
gummies.
Always happens that way. It always happens
because... It's the universal way to become a fool.
Yeah, and you become, you know, You do bad stuff. Like I said, I've had many of these moments. I remember when I first got back here, it was me and Ike. We were sitting on the desk doing the pregame before Eagles game. Saw a friend of mine. Haven't seen her in years. And she was a little heavy. I thought she was pregnant.
Oh, no, Hugh.
And I said, hey, when is the baby due?
Oh, no.
And she said, I'm not pregnant. And I just kind of looked at me.
That should have been the one you led with today.
No, I'm just saying. Like, at that point, it was like there's nothing else for me to say. It's like you don't recover from that.
Apologize?
One. I was like, and her boyfriend was with her.
Oh.
So he kind of really looked at me worse. Like, and I was like, ain't no coming back from that one. But like I said, I just was like, hey, okay.
I think it needs to be a rule unless the person tells you they are pregnant. See, you don't ask. You don't assume that.
Dude. But,
that's a bad
That's
one.
A disaster.
Yeah. I'm in a nutshell. That's basically what it was.
I mean, you basically just like out loud said you gained a lot of weight and without context.
Well, I wasn't lying. I mean, no, I didn't mean to say it.
Honesty is not always the best policy.
We've been trying to tell you this for a long time. You got to stop being so honest.
And this is why I'm sitting here by myself all the time. But I was like, hey, when is the baby due? She said, I'm not pregnant. I was like, oh. And I looked at me and he said, dog, you're never supposed to say it. He said, what's wrong with you? You're never supposed to say that.
It's like rule number one, man.
I was like, my bad. That's all I was saying was my bad.
Because even if you're right, that's like, all right, she'd be happy you said it. She'd give you the date. But it's so much worse if you're wrong, like the situation just gave. That one just sticks.
Yeah. But
you ruined her whole day.
But
ruined your whole day.
On the flip side, I mean, maybe it's motivation.
Is that what we're going to go with?
I mean, that's all I got.
That spin right there.
That's all I got. I work in radio. Got to spin it a little bit. Like, I got to do a little bit of spin.
I guess we do that a lot. Let's look at Jim. Who's up next? What's up, Jim in Belmar?
Hey, good afternoon or good morning. I don't even know what time it is. How are you doing?
Jim, it is 12:12, and we're good. What's up?
Okay. So I wanted to, chime in about Thompson, about Coach Thompson there. I really respect the man. I respect his career. And there's some things that I absolutely love about the man, like as compared to Joe Girardi, where he tries new players. He tries new things and so forth like this. He absolutely has his finger on the pulse of the batters and, like, putting them in at the right times most of the time. I really disagreed with, the other game where he wouldn't put in JT or Bryce.
Yeah, Sunday against the Nats, yep.
Yeah, I really disagree with that and did not understand it because it's not his norm. Normally, he does really well as far as, like, putting in, like, your Weston Wilsons or your somebody that you didn't expect, like Edmundo Sosa and so forth like this. But he does not have the same flexibility or open-mindedness when it comes to his bullpen. And that is his Achilles heel. He's been doing this for like 2 years, maybe three, where he will not bend with the hot hand. I'm going to give you just a brief example from last night. He did a great job last night by putting the pinch hitters in that he did. But Hoffman pitched four pitches. That's it. And, like, you have to trust the hot hand that you have, especially in the postseason. I mean, God forbid something should happen to Orion Kerkering or Matt Strom or something like this. You can't have a professional ball player pitch four pitches, and that's it.
So let me say one thing to counter the Hoffman thing last night. And I understand your point that that's not many pitches, and he certainly could have probably pitched another inning or more batters at least, right? They don't have an off day. I'm going to check it to make sure I'm right on this. They don't have another off day here until September 2nd. So they play through tonight. They go to Kansas City. Houston comes in. Atlanta comes in. Their next off day is actually Labor Day, which is ridiculous to not play on Labor Day, but that's separate. They don't have an off day till Labor Day. If he uses Hoffman for five outs, six outs, whatever, he's probably not available for at least one day, if not two. And my thing is he's probably worried about trying to win those games too.
Okay, so here's my counter to that, because you're right. But even more to the point, it's like you don't have to have Hoffman in there for four outs because we do have a deep bullpen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stick with, I mean, like, how do you call it? You can have – you just devil's advocate here. Hoffman came in what, the end of the seventh? End of the sixth?
I think it was six. Yeah, when Nola got in trouble in the sixth, he came in last night. Yep.
Right, right. Got that. Yeah, he got the last out. But you could have used him easily for the seventh and then Kirkering. And then the next day, you have Justrom. Next day, you have another, hopefully, not Alvarado, but I'll roll the dice with him for like three batters kind of a thing. But it's the main thing is that he can't not be flexible in the postseason. And that's why it's really important, especially against the Braves. And we got, what, four games left against them?
Five tonight and then four next weekend.
Right. You can't be gambling with the Braves. No way. You've got to stick with the hot hand.
I think it's an interesting point. And look, I think a lot of people, Jim, and we appreciate the phone call, probably wanted Hoffman for the 7-2 last night because he only threw a few pitches, got the double play. I actually think I like the way Topper's aggressive with his bullpen and how he uses Hoffman all over the place since they got the new closer. I am concerned about the new closer, Hugh. He's just shaky. Like, he hasn't been bad. He's
giving
shaky.
You heart palpitations. He makes it very, very interesting down the stretch. He really did that.
And that's
last
not
night.
A word you want to use for your closer. He makes it interesting.
I will say this. I mean, he came up for you, though. I mean,
he got out of it.
Well, Bryce really was the one that came up for you being.
Yeah. And the fact that Whit Merrifield was the batter who's, you know, I mean, how many hits
man,
is he going to get?
But I tell you what, I don't know how you felt. But the night that Whit Merrifield had the other night, and him being the last batter, boy, the irony was just, I was nervous.
If Whit Merrifield had won the game last night, this would have been Meltdown City. I mean, this would have been a mess today on WIP.
You think?
Yeah. I wouldn't have came in today.
Yes, you would, because you'd have been yelling and screaming.
Sick day.
Hey.
We would have to be accountable to Whit.
It would have been bad. Phillies. It would have been bad.
That's the one that would break me.
And then you hear his press conference after that, and, you know, it would have been probably another spin on how we are the team that let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't handle that well.
Have been bad.
No, I would not work.
Especially after Arcia did the stare down, this could have gone one of two ways. Either I would have came in here feeling like we basically got, like, neutered, like the Niners coming to Philly last year and neutering us. Like, if we did not respond to what happened there, and like we lost after that, like that would have felt like that would have been the most down that I have been about this team.
You're like, how could they get back up
season?
From this?
Yeah, like that, you can't recover from mid-August Arcia's stare down.
You know what it feels like? It feels like every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they keep having a moment where it feels like things could really, truly fall apart, and they somehow win a game to like save it. They did it with the 3-homer game with Schwarber in LA, last week Schwarber with the Grand Slam, and then last night to come back and win. Hugh, just when it feels like it might really tip over, they find a way to win to like, all right, calm down, we won.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not
it's not
all
a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to be,
no,
be that, though.
No, it's not.
No, not when you're a team that has so many high expectations, high hopes for the end of the season.
I agree.
It's not a great place.
No, all right. Scott, coming up before the end of this hour, we have a $50 gift card to give away to Burger King. Embrace the heat this summer with the all-new fire menu, now available for a limited time at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. $50 gift card to Burger King coming up later this hour. I'll tell you how you could win that. Pat is up next on WIP. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys.
What's
how
up,
you
Pat?
Doing?
Good, Pat. What are you thinking?
Well, Kyle yelled at me pretty
no, I didn't. Enough of this.
I had to.
Kyle gets animated. To, yeah.
I did not I yell go, at you. Stop it.
I had to go look at some numbers. I think anyone who thinks that Jalen Hurts is set up for a giant leap forward back to 2022 is delusional, because you're pointing to scheme. You're pointing to Kellen Moore. What did he do with Justin Herbert last year? Justin Herbert didn't have a banner year last year.
He did not.
The Chargers quit on that coaching staff. They lost.
They got to add a lot of injuries, though. They had a lot of injuries. Man.
They did have a lot of injuries. And I'm looking at the over under for Jalen Hurts' yards this year.
Can I guess it? Oh, you said 3,500 is the over under. That feels low. But you know what,
it Pat? Does it feel low.
Well, here's my feeling on that. I said that. That was my first instinct, but as we all know, the people who set these lines are employed and they're in business and they make a lot of money for a reason. Like, that feels low, and I bet a lot of people listening right now are inclined to bet the over on that, but there's a reason the number is set where it is.
Go ahead and bet the over, and I will tell you, there's another quarterback who had a banner year, went 15-1, went to the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, and never got back again.
Cam Newton.
And his name's Cam Newton. So if anyone thinks that Jalen Hurts is going to come out and set the world on fire this year after having the season that he had last year, I have to see it on the field. If he goes and sets the world on fire the first 2, 3, 4 weeks, then that's fine.
Pat, I not to cut you off, but with all due respect, I don't think that's a good comparison, because when you talk about Cam Newton didn't grow and evolve as a quarterback. I think Jalen has, and I think he's shown that. He needs to play better, no question about it, but I don't think that's a good comparison when you talk about the two different quarterbacks and the style of play that they have.
Well, their numbers tell different, Hugh.
What do you mean, as far as the numbers are concerned? What do you mean?
I'm talking about yards, number of touchdowns.
If I'm not mistaken, I do believe Cam probably had way more rushing touchdowns than Jalen has.
Well, for a career he did. Though Jalen's on pace, and I don't know how long he's going to do this for. Jalen's on pace to probably come close to Cam in terms of rushing touchdowns. Jalen has a lot.
But I feel like last year when I look at Jalen, I mean, he had a few last year, and most of those were off of the tush push. He was vulturing touchdowns from my running back. I feel like last year he was a better passer. And I think that was evident in the first 10 games. I hear what you're saying, but I think that he showed signs to me early in the season that he had more of a pocket presence than he had the year before. And that's why, like, when you say that, you might not be wrong, but I feel like Jalen's going to be different.
Okay. I mean, you could feel that way, but until we see it on the field, and we don't see it in the preseason nowadays, we're going to see it in the regular.
No,
Pat, I'm with you on that part. I got to see it first. I mean, these have been good signs. And Pat, good phone call. We appreciate it. I need to see it. But here's the one thing about the Cam Jalen thing, Hugh, that I do think is similar.
Mm-hmm.
I always saw part of why Cam struggled as a passer, and he was up and down. Like, some years good, some years bad, because he was banged up. He had shoulder issues because he ran so much.
Yeah, and he was physical. He was a physical quarterback.
Yes, and Jalen's had a lot of issues. Now, he's healthy right now. He says he feels good, but he's got to sustain that throughout the season. Actually, I was surprised by this. Jalen, through the first 4 years of his career, has more rushing touchdowns than Cam had his first four years.
Is that right? It doesn't feel like that, though, because it just feels like, to me, like...
Tush push.
I forgot about
Jalen
that.
Jalen has 41 rush touchdowns. And by the way, he only started, what was it, 4 games in his first year? So... I mean, Cam started from day one. Cam had 33 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
his first
and Cam was a physical runner, man.
Yes.
Like, Cam used to be out there. Like, who is that he beat up in camp? Josh Norman?
Oh, yeah, but he would lower his shoulder.
He put hands on Josh Norman. Cam's not a little dude.
No, he's huge.
And Cam was a physical specimen. So that's why I said those numbers felt skewed to me, because I can remember Cam. Like, getting in the secondary and just putting in work on
DBs. Well, he would lower his shoulder and go through people.
Jalen's not that kind of guy. What you're about to say, Kyle?
Real quick, the only thing, because I totally understand needing to see it to believe it, but the only thing I took exception to, and did not yell at Pat, we had a very civil conversation. It was not like Doug earlier in the show, who I did yell at.
Yeah.
Yes, I absolutely ripped.
Doug needed to be
I ripped Doug a new
it.
One, yeah.
They need to get used to that, though, man.
Well, sure. but Pat said... It's delusional to expect that. That's a little bit too far for me.
He was just trying to trigger you guys. It worked.
He did get
it. It worked. I don't think it's delusional. I'm just not. No, I'm not there yet.
There's plenty of reasons to believe.
Well, this camp is the reason.
Yes.
How he's played. 215-592-9494. Are we too hard on Rob Thompson here? Do you expect the 2022 Hurts to return? Reaction here to the Jahan Dotson trade. The Eagles land a receiver, former first-round pick from the Washington Commanders. Plus, more audio yesterday from Hurts and Sirianni. Very reflective last season and how they're taking it into this year. And your chance to be part of the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Give us the moment you made a fool out of yourself. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We unveil a new segment, and one we're going to continue over the next month or so, coming up at 1 at 1:30. One of our hosts here literally may have changed a line in Vegas. We got to tell you all about that. And your chance here to hop in to win a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League next Wednesday. I know we've been saying Wednesday will be the day. We have a time now. Next Wednesday, the 28th, 5 p.m. at Chickies at Pete's will be our live draft. So you got to be able to make the draft. Live at Chickies at Pete's, we'll do our draft. Hugh, promising to stay awake the entire time this time?
Yeah, it's on a Wednesday. I'll be good.
Okay.
You shouldn't promise that.
5 p.m.
Just in case you can't, you know, hold
no,
up
No, I mean,
your
I can't. Yeah, I can do that because it's Wednesday.
I know, but you get
no gummy day.
Just saying. No, I think last time Hugh fell asleep was closer to 8 p.m.
Yeah,
it was on a Friday.
Okay.
That's true. My Friday.
It was night. It was getting dark. So I do want to put this out there, though. Because the draft is 5 p.m. next Wednesday, live at Chickies and Pete's. If you are in the league and you cannot make it, you have to let me know. Otherwise, because we're going to have to give the spot away.
Right.
So please let me know if you can't make that.
Yeah, if you can't make it, let us know, and then we'll figure it all out. But hopefully, we're excited to see everyone there that's made the league already. And obviously, some spots to give away, including one today. The moment you made the biggest fool out of yourself. Speaking of, we had a call a little while ago who told us it was Jim, I think, who made had the L on his forehead to rookie Bo.
Yeah.
And then he got on the front page of the Daily News, and he got himself fired. Because his boss, I'm trying to find the cover of the Daily News that day.
Yeah, that's pretty specific.
Yeah, I think I've narrowed it down. I think I figured out the exact day it was. So we're going to try to work on that and find it. All right, before we go any further, and we also have the Jahan Dotson trade to react to as the Eagles get a former first round pick. By the way, some more details on that. Hugh, the Eagles traded a third round pick as part of this deal to the Commanders. Now, the Eagles have two third round picks next year. So Ian Rappaport gave the details. This is going to be the better of the two. So they have their own pick in the third round, the Eagles, and they also had the Dolphins pick. So whichever one is a better pick, that's the pick that's going to the Commanders. So the Commanders turned Dotson into that could be a pretty decent pick. You know, Miami, I don't know. I think they're an average team. So that might be like the 16th pick in the third round. That's not a small price.
No, it's not. It's not. And you know, Howie's out there doing his thing, wheeling and dealing. I'm just like, we were sitting here wondering because it's just so weird. To have them, even though they've had other trades that they've had, but to trade a first round pick to the Eagles to try to, in essence, potentially make them better, it's just kind of weird.
It adds to,
and it just kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah,
what's going on?
It adds to the fact that they didn't want him, right? Like they didn't because it's one thing to give up on a first round pick. The Steelers just did with Kenny Pickett. It's another thing to trade him to a division rival, and that happened here. I'm excited to see what he's got, and I do think. The Eagles needed to do this. I mean, if not him, they needed a receiver. I wasn't comfortable going into the season with Johnny Wilson and Britton Covey. I mean, these are nice depth pieces, and let them develop. Like, if Johnny Wilson becomes something, great. But, like, if week one rolls around and AJ comes hobbling off the field into the medical tent with an ankle, you know, a little twisted ankle, you know, Jahan Dotson, in my view, gives you a much better chance to score some points than Johnny Wilson has ever played in the league. So I think this was a necessity by the Eagles. All right, let's hear from Hurts and Sirianni at camp yesterday. First, Jalen Hurts on, you know, adversity and how teams need to respond to it to be the best they could be.
Your level of comfortability operating out of the system, you know, compared
to... Yeah, it's just been, you know, it's been work. You know, this is what I told the team the other day, and it's about how you handle frustration, you know. It's about how you handle these moments. It's like everything you do is about how you respond to it. And so we want to be a team that responds to adversity the right way. We want to be a team that embraces certain things because we know that it's going to propel us forward. We know that there's purpose behind that friction. We know that there's purpose behind that frustration. And so learn from it. You know, you may have wanted to do something better. Maybe someone didn't communicate something good enough. You know, Coach Doug tells us all the time, I didn't tell you what I should have told you right there. I take that. You know, and then there's times where I do the same thing to him and whatnot, or to my guys, you know, O-line receivers, whatnot. So it's just a thing of embracing the journey and trusting the process and trusting your work.
Hugh, there's a lot of factors that are going to determine how good this Eagles team is, but what Hurts is talking about there, it's probably the thing I'm most interested in seeing, how they respond the first time things get rough. Because last year it got rough, and they just turned on each other, fell apart. We had Reed Blankenship on yesterday. He basically spelled it out. They weren't in a good place as a group last year.
Yeah.
Are they going to be – because adversity is going to happen, right?
Like, yeah.
at some point, they're probably going to lose two in a row. They might lose week one. Like, will they respond the right way when things go off the tracks?
I think so, because I think everybody's in a good space. And the reason why I feel that way is because listening to Jalen talk, he's been very reflective. He's always been reflective, but it sounds to me more so like he's reflecting on his role in all of this. And he's comfortable with that. And another thing, Coach Sirianni, the same thing. The fact that Coach Sirianni put out there that he read a book in the offseason talking about how he could be a better coach and how he could do things differently, that's a sign of growth.
Let's hear from Nick. Because, you know, it's not just Jalen. You're right. It's Nick. And Nick is the one I'm actually more – if I had to pick who am I more concerned about when adversity hits, is it Jalen, is it Nick? It's Nick. I mean, Nick's the one that's on the hot seat more than Jalen. Nick's the one that last year, and we saw it a lot, and this has been a theme with him, he's very animated on the sideline. I thought it was a detriment last year. I mean, that thing against the Chiefs was embarrassing. And then, you know, he's fighting with players on the sideline, yelling back and forth against the Giants. Let's hear from Nick as he tries to – I don't know. I'm expecting him to tone it down a little bit and be a little more composed on the sideline this year. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
You know, one thing that I read when I was reading a leadership book this offseason was, if you want – everyone around you to have accountability and you want yourself to have accountability, then, you know, you fussing at the refs is not, it's almost like, hey, this happened, so I'm going to blame that, right? And so when I read that, I was like, yeah, that hit me like, some sort of way.
I want to know what book Sirianni read now. I want to order to read
that,
the book.
That had that specific moment that he's referring. No, you know what's funny? As a guy who had some reflective moments in his life, he was taking whatever he read and he was applying it to a moment that he's had in his coaching. And where did it go wrong? You know, because we all speculate that for Coach Sirianni, he had a come to Jesus moment. Like, we all speculate that there was a good possibility that he could have gotten fired.
Of course.
In this offseason. So when I hear him say what he's saying, he took a long look at himself and asked himself, what could he do better? Or how can I handle certain situation better? Or even this, Joe, and I did this, why am I in this situation? And a lot of times when I would do that, it was because of the way that I acted. And my demeanor put me in situations where it caused me harm.
So I think every one of us at some point like realizes, hey, I got to make a change here, right? Whatever I'm doing is not working. I need to reflect and change. But you know when you don't know if it's actually clicked in your head until the first moment pops up again, right? Like I could say right now, I'm going to be better at this. Mm-hmm. But I'm just talking to you, right? Like, but the first time that thing pops up again, then I find out.
It's a process.
Yeah, so like with Sirianni and Hurts, they both are saying the right things, but the first time there's a tough moment on the sideline, that's when we're going to know, is it really clicking or are we just talking here?
But you know what? And this is where I feel the growth comes in, because you have to be able to receive it when somebody tells you, hey, you're acting a donkey, or hey, pull it back. And that's where I think he's growing at. It's that maybe that's why they made it clear that Big Dom needs to be a coach, or he's on the sideline, because he's going to be the guy. And I just lost Kyle when I said that.
You're losing a lot of us.
But seriously, maybe that's why, hey, man, pull it back. Like, every now and then you need somebody to tell you, man, hey, man, you might want to pull that back.
So, relax over there.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you want to pull it back. You want to pull it back a little bit. And I have people that are in my corner that tell me that, hey, you might be doing a little bit too much. Or you just feel it. It takes a while. It takes 21 days to break a habit, man. So it's fair for people to think that in this time frame, because this is all new, everybody's saying all the right things. Like, hopefully we don't hit adversity in the first couple of weeks of this season. But I like the trajectory that this team is going in. I like the direction.
Well, by my count, it's been over 200 days since the Eagles season ended last year. So that should be plenty of time for Nick Sirianni to get himself right on the sideline. Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Bam, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking good, but I got some. Before I get my point, I'm asking some earth. I got. I'm Uncle Bam today. I'm Uncle Bam. I got some fans that want to say something to you. Austin, come here. The Eagles.
Eagles.
You Uncle Bam? Is that your nephew?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a big Eagles fan.
I can tell. How old?
How old are you? Tell him how old you are.
We got 5-year-old listeners, Hugh.
That's awesome.
They're on the same wavelength as us. We got kids listening to this show. Bam, that's great. Bam, what are you thinking today?
I think Tapa is being too hard on, man. We need to be harder on Tapa, man. He made them. I'm not forgiving Tapa for that Sunday, man. He could have put Harper in as a pitch hitter that day, man.
He could have. I mean, he could have done that. He could have brought JT in. But don't you think we're really hard on Tapa here, Bam? I mean, sometimes it feels like we think he's a bad manager.
But sometimes, you know, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. I mean, you gotta be a little tough on him. Because he got to make better decisions.
Well, I don't think he pays attention. I think Topper handles it well. I don't think he's tuning in every day as we crush him for his pinch hitting decisions. Bam, when did you make a fool out of yourself? What'd you do?
All right, so it was my 21st birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was dating this one girl, but she was a twin. They was twin sisters.
Oh no, Bam. What'd you
I
do?
I met her. They threw me a birthday party, but I didn't know. I was too intoxicated for my 21st birthday. And I told the one sister that I love her instead of the other one.
Mm. I mean, but that's not bad because
Hugh, it's not good.
Well, how is he supposed to know which one is which? He was drunk.
Well, would you not think, Hugh, that that's making a fool out of yourself? I mean, it's an honest mistake, but
that's an honest mistake.
Still foolish.
No, it's an honest mistake.
Honest mistakes can be foolish, Hugh.
No, I don't think. I'm just like, especially if they're like identical twins.
Well, yeah, that's not an excuse. You got to have a tell.
No, but sometimes you don't.
There's tells.
Hugh, they're dressed alike. Were they dressed alike? Bam.
Hugh, if you do it intentionally, it crosses the line from embarrassing to just mean.
I'm trying to help Bam out. Bam,
I'm trying to help you out.
Were they dressed alike, Bam?
They were dressed alike, but his.
See that there? There it is.
You ready for the kicker?
What's the kicker?
The one I told her I love ended up being my baby mom.
Wait a minute, wait.
Whoa.
Wait a minute, what?
Whoa.
What?
No.
Wait a minute, bam.
Is he swapped?
Bam. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Wait, because like, these stories, like, help me understand.
No, so I think you understood it.
You smashed both of them?
Yeah.
Like, on purpose?
Or I'm looking at a freeze.
Was that one an accident?
It was an accident.
Bam, it ain't no accident. Dude. That ain't no accident. Bam, that sounds like purposeful.
Yeah, I mean,
Bam, the life you living.
Bam, that's
But you know what? This is not.
It's a lot.
I know.
But he made a fool of himself. Bam, good answer. You're in the mix for the league.
But you know what though? I know a set of twins that did this before though. Like she married the guy that used to date her sister. Like this is some twin drama. Like, as a matter of fact, they were triplets.
Identical. And,
yeah.
Well, you know what?
They look different. They like
so not identical.
Well, when you say they look alike, but the body types are different. You know what I'm saying? So one of them like gained a little bit of weight,
but they were identical.
Long story short, he ended up like he dated the first one, but then he ended up marrying the other one. Like he married the other twin.
Some wild stuff.
Yeah. Like I think this is how twins get down though, man.
I think we might be generalizing twins.
No,
here.
I'm saying because this ain't the first time. I'm not trying to you people twins.
You kind of are. There's a lot of twins.
But twins do weird stuff.
I have a theory that Bam, that was on purpose.
Yeah, Bam did it. Bam
well, no, he said, he I doing. Accidentally said I love you, and then that ended up being the mother of his child. No, that might have been on
purpose. Well, then that's where it's less embarrassing. That's malicious.
Yeah, he didn't finish the story even, because I guarantee you.
I think I brought this up once before.
They got it on later on that evening.
Okay.
That's too much. Do I need to pull that back?
You can't now. So, again, we're not just picking the best answer. We're also picking people we want in the league with us. If Bam's picking the wrong
twin. He has no boundaries.
Well,
though.
I'm just saying if he's picking the wrong twin or accidentally, maybe.
Bam a wild dude.
Maybe he picks the wrong player and the better players fall to us. I'm just saying we may have to be strategic about letting Bam in the league for our own good, for the fantasy purposes there.
Yeah, that's a way to think about it. I'm still fascinated with this whole twin thing, though. Because they had
you
to be.
You think this happens often?
Yes, because they had to be complicit. Twins are fiercely competitive.
This is just more generalization.
Hold on. When you say you think it happens often. Like,
yeah, I do.
I would say less than 1% of twins this happens with.
I would venture to say if there's a set of twins that are listening to this show.
Well, I'm sure there are. Or a twin is listening.
They've had a similar situation. I guarantee you.
Put a percentage on it like you did with the Bigfoot.
Okay, the Bigfoot. I go 65%.
No, dude.
No, I'm going to hit you with 65 today. I feel confident about
65% this. 65% of
twins. Twins are different. Twins are different. Especially identical twins.
65% of twins have
had relations. Like, they've either dated the same guy or same gal.
No way. 65%.
They've done this. I guarantee you.
65% is a gigantic number.
Yes, it is. And you know me, I don't shy away from bold predictions.
There is one thing that goes to your theory on this. If they're identical twins, you don't have to worry about the person that you might be, you both had been with at one point, finding you attractive. Of course they find you attractive.
Yeah.
They found your twin attractive.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, because twins, like, they share on a level that's unheard of.
So you just told everyone the percentage.
Yeah, I'm just saying, 65%. I'm going to go 65%.
That is a
somebody help me out with these numbers, because I feel strongly on this.
Yeah, I know you do.
I feel real strong.
When you feel strongly, that's when
I'll die on this hill.
The wildest percentages come out on this show. Like, again, if you missed it a few months ago, Hugh Douglas believes 70% of Americans are actively searching for Bigfoot.
They were.
You know,
and some people came up to me and told me they were searching for Bigfoot.
I heard about that for 2 weeks. People, I didn't even know, listen to this show, like, he was crazy with the 70% about Bigfoot.
I tell you, I believe, man, 65% of the twins, they into some different stuff. I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that.
All right, Bobby, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Bobby?
But my dad, you know, he would just stop at this one place to get hoagies. That was good.
What kind of hoagies?
Oh, Joe, I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, Bobby, I'm always up for hoagie talk. What kind of hoagies did he get?
They were Italian hoagies. Was down at Veterans Stadium when you could bring your food in and all.
Oh, yeah, the good old days.
The good old days is right. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're good, Bobby.
How you doing?
No worries. We just caught the part about the hoagies and going to get them. Bobby, what are you thinking here on Jalen? You think 2022, Jalen?
You know, Joe, I'm not a believer. I wasn't a believer in him last year, and I told you guys I called after week six. I don't like how he looks. And I'm telling you, as far as personality and change your behavior, it's very difficult to do that, especially in 1 year. So I know he's probably trying, but you always revert back to your original stuff. That's just human behavior.
21 days, man. 21 days.
To break a habit. 21 days to break a habit, yeah.
Or form one. 21 days.
What was that, you?
No, I would just say it, Bobby. It's 21 days to break a habit or form a habit. 21 days.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the quarterback's going to play great because he's 20.
Well, he hadn't thrown a pick till yesterday.
I realize that. I recognize that.
How many days into camp was that? 20? Was it 20?
It was like 19.
Well, but
like
maybe
he formed
a new one.
Yeah.
Let's be careful here.
But guys, the litmus test is going to be how is he running? How is he rolling out? If he goes down like he did last year on his, we're in every time. It's going to be a long season.
Well, Bobby, it's a really good point. So he's healthy now, and I thought he moved well when we were at camp. But can he feel good the whole year, right? Or will he get banged up? That's a major part of this. Can he sustain his health all year? Bobby, give us a moment. You felt like a fool. What'd you do?
It was my first member guest tournament at my country club, and it was after Stag Night, and it's the first team, and you have a lot of people that have this person, your guest name from his country club, and I got up on the tee box, and I dribbled the ball off the tee.
Oh, no.
Dude, when it didn't even go maybe 6 yards, and everybody was still watching. I could have just wanted to a hole.
Yeah, you had a tough shot there. I mean, 6 yards is rough. I'm not a golfer, but I feel like that's kind of
yeah.
That's
tough. You know, you get a little nervous when everybody's around, and your name's called. So yeah, I'm not good under pressure. That's for sure.
Hugh, if you had to go to the tee right now, Bobby Goodwin will get you in the mix. How far do you think you hit a golf ball? 100 yards.
If I actually connect, I could probably hit it
200 yards.
Nah, probably not that far because I like the motion. I'm kind of stiff.
I think you could hit 150 yards.
No, but if you had an appropriate swing, you could hit one about it's like 300, dude.
No, if I had an appropriate swing, but I don't have like my motion. I can't get it. You know
but
how
that's
you
a huge
pull
part
it all the way back. Yeah, I can't pull it all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
It's all in the hips, man.
Yeah, because my hips are tight. So, yeah, I couldn't do it. But I've tried. Like, I have a driver. Like, I used to go to the driving range and kill it. But that was like...
I could see that, yeah.
What happened?
Like 20 years ago.
Why don't you go back?
Because I got tired of playing golf because it cost too much.
That's true. It costs a lot.
But the driving range doesn't cost much.
No, it doesn't, but golf is expensive.
It is.
Yeah, it's very, very expensive.
You know what I think we need more of? I think we need more of candid phone calls with our callers. Like, we pick up and they're giving hoagie orders or talking about past hoagie orders. That was a very WIP moment.
Yeah, it was.
Hoagie shop down the street.
I gotta tell you, man, we go off the rails on this one.
Well, I mean, you led us down a path with the Twins that I don't think anyone was expecting.
Listen,
I guess it was Bam's fault.
Person that thinks, like, Twins are different. Like, seriously, all, like, identical twins are different. They're a different breed.
They are. I mean, in very a lot.
Well, yeah,
ways.
Because and they have a weird connection where I could see that being something that they say, you know, especially when they're talking, because they share everything. So I'm pretty sure if they're talking about something.
I don't think they all share that.
I believe they do.
I know
you're just
you
people twins.
Yeah.
I didn't you people the twins.
You,
I'm just saying.
You generalize all twins.
Dude, I'm telling you. Like,
65%?
Listen. I'm going to tell you a story off the air because I can't tell it on there.
Oh, no.
About some twins that I knew, and they were pretty wild stuff.
All right, 215-592-9494. All right, that's your chance to hop in. We're looking for the time you made the biggest fool to yourself. Best answer gets a spot in the Midday Show League. We're going to unveil a new segment next about the NL East. That's coming up. Your phone calls on Hurts, the Jahan Dotson trade, which we're intrigued by, but certainly wondering why the Commanders gave up on him. Eagles trade for a receiver today from the Commanders. And Topper, are we too hard on him? Plus, right now, $50 gift card to Burger King. The third caller to 215-988-1258. Third caller, 215-988-1258, wins a $50 gift card to Burger King right now on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Do y'all remember that special care package I got from my friends at Hatfield with their new Southwest Seasoned Tenderloin flavor? Well, I got good news for all of y'all. It's now available at your neighborhood Acme. Hatfield Southwest Seasoned Marinated Tenderloin boasts a bold flavor profile with just a hint of heat that brings a vibrant southwestern kick to every bite. I'm speaking to the grill masters now. Upgrade your grilling game. Visit simplyhatfield.com and find your flavor. Find your flavor today with Hatfield.
So Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We unveil a new segment, and one we're going to continue over the next month or so coming up at 1 at 1:30. One of our hosts here literally may have changed a line in Vegas. We got to tell you all about that. And your chance here to hop in to win a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League next Wednesday. I know we've been saying Wednesday will be the day. We have a time now. Next Wednesday, the 28th, 5 p.m. at Chickies and Pete's will be our live draft. So you got to be able to make the draft. Live at Chickies and Pete's, we'll do our draft. Hugh, promising to stay awake the entire time this time?
Yeah, it's on a Wednesday. I'll be good.
Okay.
You shouldn't promise that.
5 p.m.
Just in case you can't, you know, hold
no,
up
I mean,
your
I can. Yeah, I can do that because it's Wednesday.
I know, but you get
no gummy day.
Just saying. No, I think last time Hugh fell asleep was closer to 8 p.m.
Yeah,
it was on a Friday.
Okay.
That's my Friday.
It was night. It was getting dark. So I do want to put this out there, though. Mm-hmm. Because the draft is 5 p.m. next Wednesday, live at Chickies and Pete's, if you are in the league and you cannot make it, you have to let me know. Otherwise, because we're going to have to give the spot away.
Right.
So let me know if you can't make that.
Yeah, if you can't make it, let us know, and then we'll figure it all out. But hopefully we're excited to see everyone there that's made the league already. And obviously some spots to give away, including one today. The moment you made the biggest fool out of yourself. Speaking of, we had a call a little while ago who told us it was Jim, I think, who made had the L on his forehead to rookie Bo.
Yeah.
And then he got on the front page of the Daily News and he got himself fired. Because his boss, I'm trying to find the cover of the Daily News that day.
Yeah, that's pretty specific.
Yeah, I think I've narrowed it down. I think I figured out the exact day it was. So we're going to try to work on that and find it. All right, before we go any further, and we also have the Jahan Dotson trade to react to, as the Eagles get a former first round pick. By the way, some more details on that. Hugh, the Eagles traded a third round pick as part of this deal to the Commanders. Now, the Eagles have 2 third round picks next year. So Ian Rappaport gave the details. This is going to be the better of the two. So they have their own pick in the third round, the Eagles, and they also had the Dolphins pick. So whichever one is a better pick, that's the pick that's going to the Commanders. So the Commanders turned Dotson into that could be a pretty decent pick. You know, Miami, I don't know. I think they're an average team. So that might be like the 16th pick in the third round. That's not a small price.
No, it's not. It's not. And you know, Howie's out there doing his thing, wheeling and dealing. I'm just like, we were sitting here wondering because it's just so weird to have them, even though they've had other trades that they've had, but that to trade a first round pick to the Eagles to try to, in essence, potentially make them better, it's just kind of weird.
It adds to,
and it just kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah,
What's going on?
It adds to the fact that they didn't want him, right? Like they didn't because it's one thing to give up on a first round pick. The Steelers just did with Kenny Pickett. It's another thing to trade him to a division rival, and that happened here. I'm excited to see what he's got, and I do think the Eagles needed to do this. I mean, if not him, they needed a receiver. I wasn't comfortable going into the season with Johnny Wilson and Britton Covey. I mean, these are nice depth pieces, and let them develop. Like if Johnny Wilson becomes something, great. But like if week one rolls around and AJ comes hobbling off the field into the medical tent with an ankle, you know, a little twisted ankle, you know, Jahan Dotson, in my view, gives you a much better chance to score some points than Johnny Wilson has ever played in the league. So I think this was a necessity by the Eagles. All right, let's hear from Hurts and Sirianni at camp yesterday. First, Jalen Hurts on, you know, adversity and how teams need to respond to it to be the best they could be.
Your level of comfortability operating out of the system, you know, compared
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been, you know, it's been work. You know, this is what I told the team the other day, and it's about how you handle frustration. You know, it's about how you handle these moments. It's like everything you do is about how you respond to it, and so we want to be a team that responds to adversity the right way. We want to be a team that embraces certain things because we know that it's going to propel us forward. We know that there's purpose behind that friction. We know that there's purpose behind that frustration, and so learn from it. You know, you may have wanted to do something better. Maybe someone didn't communicate something good enough. You know, Coach Doug tells us all the time, I didn't tell you what I should have told you right there. I take that. You know, and then there's times where I do the same thing to him and whatnot, or to my guys, you know, O-line receivers, whatnot. So it's just a thing of embracing the journey. And trusting the process and trusting your work.
Hugh, there's a lot of factors that are going to determine how good this Eagles team is, but what Hurts is talking about there, it's probably the thing I'm most interested in seeing, how they respond the first time things get rough. Because last year it got rough, and they just turned on each other, fell apart. We had Reed Blankenship on yesterday. He basically spelled it out. They weren't in a good place as a group last year.
Yeah.
Are they going to be... Because adversity is going to happen, right?
Like, yeah.
At some point, they're probably going to lose two in a row. They might lose week one. Like, will they respond the right way when things go off the tracks?
I think so, because I think everybody's in a good space. And the reason why I feel that way is because listening to Jalen talk, he's been very reflective. He's always been reflective, but it sounds to me more so like he's reflecting on his role in all of this. And he's comfortable with that. And another thing, Coach Sirianni, the same thing. The fact that Coach Sirianni put out there that he read a book in the offseason talking about how he could be a better coach and how he could do things differently, that's a sign of growth.
Let's hear from Nick, because, you know, it's not just Jalen. You're right, it's Nick. And Nick is the one I'm actually more – if I had to pick who am I more concerned about when adversity hits, is it Jalen, is it Nick? It's Nick. I mean, Nick's the one that's on the hot seat more than Jalen. Nick's the one that last year, and we saw it a lot, and this has been a theme with him – he's very animated on the sideline. I thought it was a detriment last year. I mean, that thing against the Chiefs was embarrassing. And then, you know, he's fighting with players on the sideline, yelling back and forth against the Giants. Let's hear from Nick as he tries to, I don't know, I'm expecting him to tone it down a little bit and be a little more composed on the sideline this year. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
You know, one thing that I read when I was reading a leadership book this offseason was, if you want everyone around you to have accountability and you want yourself to have accountability, then, you know, you fussing at the refs is not, it's almost like, hey, this happened, so I'm going to blame that, right? And so when I read that, I was like, yeah, that hit me like some sort of way.
I want to know what book Sirianni read now. I want to order and read the book
that had that specific moment that he's referring. No, you know what's funny? As a guy who had some reflective moments in his life, he was taking whatever he read and he was applying it to a moment that he's had in his coaching. And where did it go wrong? You know, because we all speculate that for Coach Sirianni, he had a come to Jesus moment. Like, we all speculate that there was a good possibility that he could have gotten fired.
Of course.
In this offseason. So when I hear him say what he's saying, he took a long look at himself and asked himself, what could he do better? Or how can I handle a certain situation better? Or even this, Joe, and I did this, why am I in this situation? And a lot of times when I would do that, it was because of the way that I acted. and my demeanor put me in situations where it caused me harm.
So I think every one of us at some point like realizes, hey, I got to make a change here, right? Whatever I'm doing is not working. I need to reflect and change. But you know when you don't know if it's actually clicked in your head until the first moment pops up again, right? Like I could say right now, I'm going to be better at this, mm-hmm. but I'm just talking to you, right? Like, but the first time that thing pops up again, then I find out.
It's a process.
Yeah. So like with Sirianni and Hurts, they both are saying the right things. But the first time there's a tough moment on the sideline, that's when we're going to know, is it really clicking or are we just talking here?
But you know what? And this is where I feel the growth comes in, because you have to be able to receive it when somebody tells you, hey, you're acting a donkey, or hey, pull it back. And that's where I think he's growing at. It's that maybe that's why they made it clear that Big Dom needs to be a coach, or he's on the sideline. Because he's going to be the guy, and I just lost Kyle when I said that.
You're losing a lot of us.
But seriously, maybe that's why, hey, man, pull it back. Like, every now and then, you need somebody to tell you, man, hey, man, you might want to pull that back.
So, relax over there.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you want to pull it back. You want to pull it back a little bit. And I have people that are in my corner that tell me that, hey, you might be doing a little bit too much. Or you just feel it. It takes a while. It takes 21 days to break a habit, man. So it's fair for people to think that in this time frame, because this is all new, everybody's saying all the right things. Like, hopefully we don't hit adversity in the first couple of weeks of this season. But I like the trajectory that this team is going in. I like the direction.
Well, by my count, it's been over 200 days since the Eagles season ended last year. That should be plenty of time for Nick Sirianni to get himself right on the sideline. Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Bam. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking good, but I got some. Before I get my point, I asked some earlier. I got. I'm Uncle Bam today. I'm Uncle Bam. I got some fans that want to say something to you. Austin, come here. The Eagles.
Eagles.
You Uncle Bam? Is that your nephew?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a big Eagles fan.
I can tell. How old?
How old are you? Tell him how old you are.
5.
We got 5-year-old listeners, Hugh.
That's awesome.
They're on the same wavelength as us. We got kids listening to this show. Bam, that's great. Bam, what are you thinking today?
I think Tapa is being too hard on, man. We need to be harder on Tapa, man. He made them. I'm not forgiving Tapa for that Sunday, man. He could have put Harper in as a pitch hitter that day, man.
He could have. I mean, he could have done that. He could have brought JT in. But don't you think we're really hard on Tapa here, Bam? And sometimes it feels like we think he's a bad manager.
But sometimes, you know, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. I mean, you gotta be a little tougher on him. Because you got to make better decisions.
Well, I don't think he pays attention. I think Topper handles it well. I don't think he's tuning in every day as we crush him for his pinch hitting decisions. Bam, when did you make a fool out of yourself? What'd you do?
All right, so it was my 21st birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was dating this one girl, but she was a twin. They was twin sisters.
Oh no, Bam. What'd you do?
I met her. They threw me a birthday party, but I didn't know. I was too intoxicated for my 21st birthday. And I told one sister that I love her instead of the other one.
Mm. I mean, but that's not bad, because
it's not good.
Well, how is he supposed to know which one is which? He was drunk.
Well, would you not think, Hugh, that that's making a fool out of yourself? I mean, it's an honest mistake, but
that's still
foolish.
No, it's an honest mistake.
Honest mistakes can be foolish, Hugh.
No, I don't think. I'm just like, especially if they're like identical twins.
Well, yeah, but that's not an excuse. You got to have a tell.
No. But sometimes you don't.
There's tells.
Unless they're dressed alike. Were they dressed alike? Bam.
Hugh, if you do it intentionally, it crosses the line embarrassing to just mean.
I'm trying to help Bam out. Bam,
I'm trying to help you out.
Were they dressed alike, Bam?
They were dressed alike, but his.
See, that there it is.
You ready for the kicker?
What's the kicker?
The one I told her I love ended up being my baby mom.
Wait a minute, wait.
Whoa.
Wait a minute, what?
Whoa.
What?
No.
Wait a minute,
is
Bam.
He swapped?
Bam. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Wait, because, like, these stories, like, help me understand.
No, so I think you understood it.
You smashed both of them?
Yeah.
On like, purpose?
I'm looking at a three.
Was that one an accident?
It was an accident.
Bam, it ain't no accident. Dude. That ain't no accident. Bam, that sounds like purposeful.
Yeah, I mean,
Bam, the life you living.
Bam, that's, I mean.
But you know what? This is not.
It's a lot.
I know.
But he made a fool of himself. Bam, good answer. You're in the mix for the league.
But you know what, though? I know a set of twins that did this before, though. Like, she married the guy that used to date her sister. Like, this is some twin drama. Like, as a matter of fact, they were triplets.
Identical.
And, yeah.
Well, you know,
well, they look different. They like,
so not identical.
well, when you say they look alike, but the body types are different. You know what I'm saying? So one of them like gained a little bit of weight,
but they were identical.
Long story short, he ended up like he dated the first one, but then he ended up marrying the other one. Like he married the other twin.
Some wild stuff.
Yeah, like I think this is how twins get down, though, man.
I think we might be generalizing twins.
No,
here.
I'm saying because this ain't the first time. I'm not trying to you people twins.
You kind of are. There's a lot of twins.
But twins do weird stuff.
I have a theory that Bam, that was on purpose.
Yeah, Bam did it. Bam
well, no, he said, he I doing. Accidentally said, I love you, and then that ended up being the mother of his child. No. That might have been on
purpose. Well, then that's where it's less embarrassing. That's malicious.
Yeah, he didn't finish the story even, because I guarantee you.
I think I brought this up once before.
They got it on later on that evening.
Okay.
That's too much. Do I need to pull that back?
You can't now. You can't now. So, again, we're not just picking the best ants. We're also picking people we want in the league with us. If Bam's picking the wrong
twin. He has no boundaries.
Well,
though.
I'm just saying if he's picking the wrong twin or accidentally, maybe.
Bam a wild dude.
Maybe he picks the wrong player and the better players fall to us. I'm just saying we may have to be strategic about letting Bam in the league for our own good, for the fantasy purposes there.
Yeah, that's a way to think about it. I'm still fascinated with this whole twin thing, though. Because they had
you
to be.
You think this happens often?
Yes, because they had to be complicit. They had to be complicit. Twins are fiercely competitive.
This is just more generalization.
Okay, hold on. Wait, when you say you think it happens often. Like,
yeah, I do.
I would say less than 1% of twins this happens with.
I would venture to say if there's a set of twins that are listening to this show.
Well, I'm sure there are. Or a twin is listening.
They've had a similar situation. I guarantee you.
Put a percentage on it like you did with the Bigfoot.
Okay, the Bigfoot. I'll go 65%.
No, dude.
No, I'm going to hit you with 65 today. I feel confident about
65%
this.
65% of twins.
Twins are different. Twins are different.
I didn't
especially
know how to
identical
twins. 65% of twins have
had relations. Like they've either dated the same guy or same gal.
No way. 65%.
They've done this. I guarantee you.
65% is a gigantic number.
Yes, it is. And you know me, I don't shy away from bold predictions.
There is one thing that goes to your theory on this. If they're identical twins, you don't have to worry about the person that you might be, you know, like, you know, you both had been with at one point, finding you attractive. Of course they find you attractive.
Yeah.
They found your twin attractive.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, because twins, like, they share on a level that's unheard of.
Not until you just told everyone the percentage.
Yeah, I'm just saying, 65%. I'm going to go 65%.
That is a
somebody help me out with these numbers, because I feel strongly on this.
Yeah, I know you do.
I feel real strong.
When you feel strongly, that's when
I'll die on this hill.
The wildest percentages come out on this show. Like, again, if you missed it a few months ago, Hugh Douglas believes 70% of Americans are actively searching for Bigfoot.
They were.
You know,
and some people came up to me and told me they were searching for Bigfoot.
I heard about that for 2 weeks. People, I didn't even know, listen to this show, like, he was crazy with the 70% about Bigfoot.
I'm no, like, I tell you, I believe, man, 65% of the twins, they into some different stuff. I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that.
All right,
that.
Bobby, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Bobby?
But my dad, you know, he would just stop at this one place to get hoagies. That was good.
What kind of hoagies?
Oh, Joe, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Gone.
No, Bob, I'm always up for hoagie talk. What kind of hoagies did he get?
They were Italian hoagies. Was down in Veterans Stadium when you could bring your food in and all.
Oh, yeah, the good old days.
The good old days is right. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're good,
up,
Bobby.
How you doing?
No worries. We just caught the part about the hoagies and going to get them. Bobby, what are you thinking here on Jalen? You think 2022, Jalen?
You know, Joe, I'm not a believer. I wasn't a believer in him last year, and I told you guys I called after week 6. I don't like how he looks. And I'm telling you, as far as personality and change your behavior, it's very difficult to do that, especially in 1 year. So I know he's probably trying, but you always revert back to your, you know, your original stuff. That's just human behavior.
21 days.
To break a habit, 21 days to break a habit, yeah.
Or form one, 21 days.
What was that, you?
No, I would just say it, Bobby. It's 21 days to break a habit or form a habit. 21 days.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the quarterback's going to play great because he's 20.
Well, he hadn't thrown a pick till yesterday.
I realize that. I recognize that.
That's been, how many days into camp was that? 20, was it 20?
Like 19.
Well, but
like
maybe
that.
He formed a new one.
Yeah.
Let's be careful here.
But guys, the litmus test is going to be how is he running? How is he rolling out? If he goes down like he did last year on his, you know, rear end every time, it's going to be a long season.
Well, Bobby, it's a really good point. So he's healthy now, and I thought he moved well when we were at camp, but can he feel good the whole year, right? Or will he get banged up? That's a major part of this. Can he sustain his health all year? Bobby, give us a moment. You felt like a fool. What'd you do?
It was my first member guest tournament at my country club, and it was after Stag night. And it's the first team, and you have a lot of people that have this your guest name from his country club. And I got up on the tee box, and I dribbled the ball off the tee.
Oh, no.
It didn't even go maybe 6 yards, and everybody was there watching. I could have just wanted to a hole.
Yeah, you had a tough shot there. I mean, 6 yards is rough. I'm not a golfer, but I feel like that's kind of
that's
tough.
You know, you get a little nervous when everybody's around, and you know your name's called. So yeah, I'm not good under pressure. You know, that's for sure.
Hugh, if you had to go to the tee right now, Bobby, good one. We'll get you in the mix. How far do you think you hit a golf ball? 100 yards.
If I actually connect, I could probably hit it
200 yards.
Nah, probably not that far because I like the motion. I'm kind of stiff.
I think you could hit 150 yards.
No, but if you had an appropriate swing, you could hit one about it's like 300, dude.
No, if I had an appropriate swing, but I don't have like my motion. I can't get it. You know how
that's
you
a huge
pull
part
it all the way back. Yeah, I can't pull it all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
It's all in the hips, man.
Yeah, because my hips are tight. So yeah, I couldn't do it. But I've tried. Like I have a driver. Like I used to go to the driving range and kill it. But that was like
I could see that. Yeah,
what happened?
Like 20 years ago.
Why don't you go back?
Because I got tired of playing golf because it cost too much.
That's true. It costs.
Golf
but the
is
driving
expensive.
Range doesn't cost much.
No, prime. It doesn't. But golf is expensive.
It is.
Yeah, it's very, very expensive.
You know what I think we need more of? I think we need more of candid phone calls with our callers. Like, we pick up and they're giving hoagie orders or talking about past hoagie orders. That was a very WIP moment.
Yeah, it was.
Hoagie shop down the street.
I gotta tell you, man, we go off the rails on this one.
Well, I mean, you let us down a path with the Twins that I don't think anyone was expecting.
I guess
it was Bam's fault.
The only person that thinks, like, Twins are different. Like, seriously, identical twins are different. They're
a
different breed.
They are. I mean, in very a lot.
Well, yeah,
ways.
Because and they have a weird connection where I could see that being something that they say, you know, especially when they're talking because they share everything. So I'm pretty sure if they're talking about something,
I don't think they all share that.
I believe they do.
I know
you're just
you
people twins.
Yeah,
I didn't you people the twins.
You,
I'm just
you
saying.
Generalize just, all
you're
twins.
Dude, I'm telling you, like
65%.
Listen, nah. I'm going to tell you a story off the air because I can't tell it on there.
Oh, no.
About some twins that I knew, and they were pretty wild stuff.
All right, 215-592-9494. All right, that's your chance to hop in. We're looking for the time you made the biggest fool out of yourself. Best answer gets a spot in the midday show. We're going to unveil a new segment next about the NL East. That's coming up. Your phone calls on Hurts, the Jahan Dotson trade, which we're intrigued by, but certainly wondering why the Commanders gave up on him. Eagles trade for a receiver today from the Commanders. And Topper, are we too hard on him? Plus, right now, $50 gift card to Burger King. The third caller to 215-988-1258. Third caller, 215-988-1258, wins a $50 gift card to Burger King right now on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Do y'all remember that special care package I got from my friends at Hatfield with their new Southwest Season Tenderloin flavor? Well, I got good news for all of y'all. It's now available at your neighborhood Acme. Hatfield Southwest Season Marinated Tenderloin boasts a bold flavor profile with just a hint of heat that brings a vibrant southwestern kick to every bite. I'm speaking to the grill masters now. Upgrade your grilling game. Visit simplyhatfield.com and find your flavor. Find your flavor today with Hatfield.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.